Community Connections, CKMS. Local sounds, thoughts, passions, and success. Celebrate local, your neighbor's got a story to tell. Community Connections, CKMS.
Happy Monday, Waterloo Region. It is Monday, the 20th of March, 2023. In the studio, we have Joshua Sade James.
Yes,
who is going
hello.
To be doing a live on-air in-studio performance for us today. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm very well. Thanks. Yourself?
Good. Pretty good. Pretty good.
Nice.
I want to get one thing out of the way. You've got the little umlaut over the A in Sade.
Yes.
And it doesn't do anything to the pronunciation of your name. It's not Sade, which is how I had been pronouncing it inside my head for the last couple of months.
No, yeah.
Just Sade.
Named after my great-grandfather.
Oh. Yeah. Oh, very nice. Yeah.
Yeah. His name actually wasn't Sade, but his nickname was Sadie for the longest time because he used to cut... My dad tells me the story. He used to cut the lawn or mow the lawn of his neighbor who was named Sadie. His name is Giuseppe.
Giuseppe.
Or Guido, sorry.
Guido.
But they called him Sade by the end of that.
Really?
Yeah.
And so
they thought he was canoodling with her as payment.
We should all be so lucky to cut the grass.
Yeah.
And so Sade is actually your...
Yes, Sade is actually my legal middle name.
Oh, very, very nice.
Yeah.
And does it come with the umlaut, or is that just an optional addition?
No, I added the umlaut because people kept saying Saint or Sade, and then... I ended up just opting for the acronym of
JSJ.
My name, JSJ. Yeah,
so that's how you're performing now.
Yeah, a little bit easier to pronounce. Yeah. That's for sure.
Yeah, it's I guess it is easier to pronounce. It's three syllables.
Yeah, yeah. Three letters, three syllables.
Yeah, you want to start off with something to get us going?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. What are you starting off with? What's the first piece you're playing?
Now, this is actually one of the first singles I released as Joshua Sade James or JSJ. This tune is called One Thing, my very first original song that I produced, written, and recorded myself, actually.
Yeah.
How did we create something out of nothing? Ain't that something? Yeah, how do you make my legs go numb, babe? When you touch me there, baby, it ain't fair. And you pretend that you're too cool for my treasure. But you're my treasure, babe. And in the end, we both know we will end up together. In love forever, and I want to give up control. Let our bodies be emotional. Cover you in love, head to toe, with that one thing, one thing, one thing, one thing. I find it hard when I'm not with you to get my fix, yeah. But I'm addicted, bus, plane, train, my way to see ya. I've got to feel ya. Oh, I need ya. And you pretend that you're too cool for my pleasure. But you're my treasure, And in the end, we both know we will end up together. In love forever, and I want to give up control. Let our bodies be emotional. Cover you in love, head to toe, with that one thing, one thing, one thing, one thing. You're that one thing. You got that one thing, yeah. our bodies be emotional? Cover you in love, head to toe, with that one thing, yeah, one thing, one thing. Now I want to give up control. Let our bodies be, let our bodies be emotional. Cover you in love, head to toe, with that one thing, yeah, one thing, one thing.
Joshua St. James, hey, right here in the studio for, yeah, Community Connections. Very nice.
Thank you.
That's the first one you've recorded and produced?
Yes, yes. First one I produced myself, I should say. First song and I ever recorded and released, actually, was a song called Brave the Storm, and it was when I was still Joshua Warren.
Oh.
The good old days. I actually listened to it last night, debating on whether or not I wanted to play it here today. And it's a fun acoustic song, but I listened to the old production of it yesterday, and oh my gosh, how's my music evolved?
Yeah.
It's definitely a dated tune. Cute melody, cute lyrics, but the production is just...
Something to redo?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, yeah. So it's still...
Yeah, I've been thinking about releasing it again. I think I might do a little bit of a rewrite on it, though. I think I make it a little bit more relevant to myself now and just better overall.
Yeah. And then up the production quality to...
Oh, gosh, yes. Yes, please. Yeah.
How do you do that? You have a home studio?
Yeah, I actually just got back from... I was actually singing on a cruise line for about 8 months.
Yes, the JSJ World Tour.
Yeah, basically, yeah. It was a super fun time. I was part of the production cast on a cruise line, Oceana Cruises, and I was in the Marina is my specific ship that I was just on. It was great. I met a lot of incredible people, traveled the world, got to see 5 out of the 7 continents, went to frickin' Antarctica. Who gets to sail Antarctica and sing? It's strange.
Never have.
No. No.
Probably never will.
Yeah, it was an incredible moment. But I just got back and I set up everything in my my studio downstairs, and I'm excited to upgrade my computer next. I'm currently working off of a jailbroken 2009 Mac just so that GarageBand works. So I'm excited after that contract to go buy a very new MacBook and maybe start learning Ableton.
Ah, okay.
I think it's about
time.
I've
heard a lot of things about Ableton.
Yeah, I've heard great things, so I think it's about time.
And then... In a matter of weeks, you're out and touring again.
Yes, in 5 weeks, I believe.
5 weeks.
5 weeks, I leave again.
Yeah.
Go on a Caribbean and East Coast Canada and East Coast the States.
So every other musician in Waterloo region wants to know, how do you land a gig like that?
I'm lucky. so I went to school for musical theater performance at Sheridan College. So I got a degree in musical theater performance. So I got very lucky in regards to how I find auditions and how exposed I am to the musical theater side of everything in this industry. So I actually was lucky enough to work in Myrtle Beach a few years back in about 2019, I think it was.
Yeah.
2018, 2019. And a lot of the people that I was on contract with, they did years and years of cruise lines. And so they got me exposed to the different cruise lines and gave me advice on which ones that pay well, which ones I should apply to, because they have great itineraries where so you can see different parts of the world that you've always wanted to go to. And so I just got lucky, put together a demo reel, had friends that made it look professional because some of them actually like designed them for a living, and got that all sorted. And then COVID hit. So that was like 2 years pause. And then I just applied online. It was really just that easy. I saw that they posted, it was NCLH, Norwegian Cruise Line Holdings, their whole page. They posted singing auditions, looking for singers who move well. And I just applied online. Next thing you know, I was asked for callback material. And then like 2 days later, they were like, hey, want to go on a cruise for 9 months? And I was like, oh, geez, maybe. And they said, it goes to Antarctica. And I said, okay, yeah. Honestly, the selling point for me.
Yeah. You've got an agent, too.
I don't, actually, no.
Publicist? I got your name through one of the...
Yeah. I've worked with Eric Alper, and I've worked with him quite a bit. He's an incredible guy. I've also worked with Artur Research.
Okay.
Eric
Alper's a frequent contributor to my overflowing inbox.
Yeah. Yes, definitely. Definitely. Him and all of his Twitter followers.
Yeah. And... when you're on a cruise like that, you're in with the same people night after night after night.
Yeah.
How do you vary your material?
So being a part of the production cast is a little bit tricky because we have 4 set shows that we do. The other
shows we do are kind of put together depending on what type of special occasion it is, for example. So we'll do like a Christmas show during December. And we also did, we put together this James Bond show. So it was just kind of a review-ish show with all of the popular theme song hits of James Bond over the years. So we kind of vary it up by doing our own thing a little bit. I actually got lucky enough to be asked to do my own solo cabaret. So I got to do that twice before I left, and I got it professionally recorded and stuff like that. So I have the opportunity to apply for guest entertainment status. And then that's actually a sweet deal I've heard about. Kind of looking more into that, because then I get to do my own shows, headline myself instead of being part of a group, and then also better pay and more flexible hours because you're only getting hired or contracted by the crews versus by a contracted period of time. So I can only go for like 2 weeks at a time, different cruise lines all over the world versus 8 months on one.
Yeah. So I'm excited about that. If you were to be on just a single cruise line, then there's different decks, different performance venues, even on the one ship.
Oh, yeah. Every ship has a different set of shows. So each ship will have anywhere between 2 to 4 shows. And then they have these things called bumpers, which are like little 7-minute medleys, if you will.
All right.
Yeah.
Any busking on the decks during the day?
No. We're lucky enough. We have the privileges. The entertainment team had privileges enough to go to guest area. So we got to eat with the guests and mingle with them. But the line that I was on, they're very... it's a luxury cruise line, I will say. They're nominated the best cuisine at sea every year. And so I was very lucky in regards to being fed. But the patrons, I will say, are of the upper tier. And they're very, they're wealthy, so I will say. It's an expensive cruise line.
They don't want somebody busking.
No, they don't. They want the string quartet playing in the wings as you entered the bar.
What about regular venues? Do you, I mean, this is your only place to play. It has been.
The last 8 months I was on the cruise line, but Kitchener and Toronto have been my kind of hub for trying to perform a lot. I'm actually lucky enough that Bobby O'Brien's in downtown Kitchener, they've given me a few shots. And I've actually worked there for a little while during COVID. I ended up becoming a bar manager, and the next thing you know, they were booking me to sing.
Oh, working there as, not a musician.
It was my my Joe job when I couldn't find one or any sort of like music gig during COVID. And next thing you know, I get bumped up, and I'm managing the place, and then I'm booking myself as the entertainment that Friday. Speaking of which, this Friday, March 24th at 8 p.m., you can see Katie Topham and myself, JSJ, at Bobby O'Brien's downtown Kitchener. Come on down.
Okay. If you're talking to Katie, ask her to drop me a line, because I'd love to have her in the studio.
Hey, Katie, too. Come back. but yeah, they've given me 3 shots while I'm home over the 2 months.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm very lucky.
Yeah, that's great. Do you range further afield? You said Toronto?
Yeah, so I used to perform in Toronto a little bit. I was actually a vocal teacher at Lawson Vocal Studios in Toronto.
Holy mackerel, you just got a repertoire.
Well, when I lived in Toronto, I was really focusing on my artist career and my own writing and exploring and developing who I was as an artist. Mm-hmm. And I had the most incredible time. I wrote some really fun songs that I would like to release at some point and met some incredible people in Toronto, and I had some of the best times, and I felt really at home with who I was. And COVID kind of messed everything up. I think everyone can kind of relate to that. Yeah. And it was just like a universal F you to the world.
Exactly.
I kind of forgot my point, if I'm being honest right now.
Just going out to the different venues.
Expanding. But in Toronto, I did a lot of open mic nights and stuff like that. There was this really cool place called Friday Roots. And they had Monday night karaoke's.
Okay.
It was very confusing, but it was super fun. I also did a few things at, I can't remember what it's called. It was a coffee house event. My friend Noah, she was the one that would set it up every time in Toronto. And it was just, I think it was like a songwriter circle situation. That was really fun. I also performed a few times at the Rivoli, and that was an incredible venue. I got very lucky when I was in Toronto, and I wish I didn't have to leave.
Yeah. But you left for the cruise line, so you know what?
Yeah, I left for because I was paying $800+ for a half of a room and I wasn't working, so I was like, I might as well just move home. Yeah. Save money. I saved that months of rent and bought a Switch and occupied myself for 6 months. Yeah. The pandemic was fun.
Never did the bar circuit, though.
Kind of. I've never gotten myself into it enough, I would say. Okay. I think I've finally gotten enough names and connections now that when I come back, I want to actually dive into that and do a little bit of a... Yeah, because I would like to tour my own stuff, and I would like to do more of that. I really do love the contract to work, because it's great, and it's really good money, and I don't really have to worry about finding a place to live, like worry about rent,
food,
board.
Everybody should have a day job like
that. Yeah, honestly, though. Honestly, yeah. Get to travel the world, do what you love, and it was it's definitely an experience, I'll tell you that. It's great.
So when you're on a cruise line, like, do you find time to write?
So this is the thing. There is lots of time, but there's also not lots of time. So I think that I'm going to have a lot more time on this next one, because from what I'm told, I don't have as many side duties. Now, it's like when you're at a restaurant, you're serving that day, and you just have to serve the tables and blah, 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 but all the side duties to, like, prep everything, like, you have to polish and roll cutlery, you have to make sure all the water bottles are full and put away, you have to clean all your tables, yada, yada, yada. There's a bunch of, like, side...
the restaurant manager.
Exactly. And then, so when I'm on the ship, although I sing in the cast and I do random parties and stuff like that, I also then have to host sporting events and give out big O points, which is like... it's like if you're at an arcade and you win tickets at a machine or a game, and then you get to go at the very end of the cruise and redeem it for Oceana merchandise and stuff like that. So it's a cool little way to get people involved on the cruise ship. But
seems out of scope for a musician.
It's just, after, hey, you don't want to do mini putt at 9 in the morning? Like, that's the thing. You think you have a lot of time, but then anytime you actually have like a full day off, you don't want to do anything, because for once you finally have nothing to do and no one to talk to, and you just lie down. And then I guess over the 8 months at sea, I finished one song, got that fully mastered. Mm-hmm. So I'm happy about that. And then maybe wrote, produced, and minorly mixed one other song.
Okay. And you can do that at...
Oh yeah. I brought my microphone. I have like a Shure 571 MB, something like that. One of the fancy ones that everyone says get. But I got one of those and a cute little Scarlett system. And so I have my whole setup I bring with me and make it a little less than so I can take it with me.
You couldn't do that 20 years ago.
No, definitely couldn't take a mini keyboard production set. That's for sure.
Exactly.
So bless these times.
Not really. And now that you're back here, you have oodles of time to...
Oodles of time. The first, I will have to admit, the first 2 weeks I did not get off that couch.
Yes.
First 2 weeks home, I did nothing. I slept for like 4 days. It was great.
Yeah.
Oh, so great. Yes. Yeah.
Being on a cruise isn't the vacation that everybody else thinks it is.
Well, because even when you're at ports and you know that you're not going to be there again, if you have the day off, you want to get off the ship. And then you end up sometimes just hating when you get off because you don't have a fun time and it's just not a good of a port. And then next thing you know, it's just you wasted your whole day kind of being bitter about the fact that you're super tired and you wish you just stayed in bed, but you didn't want to miss out on seeing Helsinki, Finland that one time or, you know what I mean? So it was great.
Yeah. It sounds like fun from somebody who hasn't done it.
Overall, yes, very fun. I will say cons, you have terrible internet and you feel so disconnected from the world. Like everyone was listening to Beyonce's new album. Mm-hmm. And I was hearing about it like a week or two after it came out. And I was like, wait, what? Beyonce dropped a new album? Oh my gosh. Yeah. It's you're like a month behind everyone, basically. Yeah.
And now that you're here, you're caught up on everything, all the news.
I'm trying to be. I'm on my phone. Like my screen time, my iPhone just notified me the other day and said, your screen time is up 112%. And I was like, oh my it's like 9 hours yesterday just on my phone trying to catch up, respond to like 600 emails. There's so much trying to do. And then on top of that, you got to do all your like personal chores. You got to get like your passport renewed and your license picture taken. Just all that stuff. So just living life.
Isn't as much time to do the songwriting and recording as
one might think. Yeah. But I'm thinking with the less amount of duties, I think it'll be possible. Yeah. Also, I think with just a little bit more discipline, if I'm being honest.
And do you set time aside specifically for
composing? I used to. Yeah, I used to be very diligent with that. And I think since I've been back, I've just been trying to take it easy and make sure that I'm physically okay and like, make sure after 8 months at CC, like my vocal doctor, make sure everything's good and make sure my actual instrument is safe and healthy so I can go do it again before I just leave for another.
Guitar in for a tune-up?
Yeah, honestly, though. Okay. I need to get my strings changed, actually.
Yeah. Nice looking guitar, by the way.
Thank you. I believe so. It's my grandfather's old guitar.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, it stays in the family.
Yeah, have good bones.
It does. It does. Yeah. Great guitar. Great guitar.
Want to put it to work?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. Nice grain pattern on the sides.
Mm-hmm.
And have a shot of that on the YouTube Live right now, and maybe put something up on the show notes as well.
Yeah, so this next tune, I actually wrote this one during quarantine. It's probably one of my favorite songs I've written in quite a while. But I submitted it to the West Coast Songwriters Association, and actually won in 2021 for overall best pop song. And I was just really proud of that. It was the first time I've ever applied for any sort of grant or award, or and the fact that it won made me very happy.
Yeah.
This is I'll Wait For You. To sleep from my eyes, and then the sun kisses my face, reminds me of love I may never see again. I wanna know how long, how far till I'm there next to you. I wanna know, used to feel the same way I do, 'cause I'll wait for you as long as you want me to. I'll wait for you, baby, just tell me to. Baby, I'll wait for you until the end of time. Don't worry about the distance, just say you're mine, 'cause I'll wait for you as long as you want me to. Baby, I'll wait for you. As long as you want me to. See, I wanna wait for you. I want all these feelings to carry us through, 'cause every time we would walk down the street, I miss how the people would say, because we were laughing too loud or holding hands, jumping and skiffing, even dancing, hugging and kissing and showing off love that I missed it and misses. This shit got me thinking about you and me, thinking about us and who we gon' be, thinking about all the times I wish I said that I loved you, 'cause now I don't know when I'll get to come hold you. But I wanna know how long, how far till I'm there next to you. And I wanna know, do you still feel the same way I do, 'cause I'll wait for you as long as you want me to. I'll wait for you, baby, just tell me to. Baby, I'll wait for you until the end of time. Don't worry about the distance, just say you're mine, 'cause I'll wait for you as long as you want me to. As long as you want me to. Baby, I'll wait for you as long as you want me to. Oh, 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 oh. Baby, I'll wait for you until the end of time. Don't worry about the distance, just say you're mine. I'll wait for you as long as you want me to.
Joshua St. James, right here on CKMS Community Connections, live on air in the studio. It's lovely.
Thank you.
Yeah. So that's a wonderful guitar. You play other instruments?
Yeah, I play a bit of piano. Sure. A bit of piano. Trying to think, like, do I play like an egg shaker? No, mostly just guitar and piano. I've diddled around. Like, I remember when I was in high school, I played tenor sax. That was fun.
Oh, yeah,
I kind of wish I stuck with that, actually. It was a really cool instrument. That's a great instrument. But no, I mainly only stick with the guitar and piano. It's easy. That sounds kind of vain that it's easier than most instruments. I don't think that's true. But I'm also not a master at anything, I should say. Disclaiming right now. My guitar was mostly self-taught. I did take lessons when I was younger for maybe like 3 weeks with Paul Chapman. incredible guitarist. He was really interested in teaching me, and he said that I had a good threshold for learning and what I could do if I stuck with it and practiced every day and did my actual lessons and teachings. But I was too interested in my dinosaurs karate fighting my Barbies. So I quit playing guitar when I was younger.
This wasn't recently.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
This is when I was like 8, 9 years old. Okay. And I definitely did not stick with it. And I really wish I had. But I took it up later when I was in freshman in high school. I was 14 years old.
Okay.
I learned how to play Justin Bieber's One Time on guitar. It's just G and C, back and forth, easy, easy. I did it for a coffee house. I had a full lunch table of girls waiting for me on the left side. But little did they know, plot twist later in life. But, guitar and piano. Piano, I got lucky. We did a few classes in college. Guitar, I did take one course in high school, but for the most part, it's just been noodling around.
Yeah. You have a little portable keyboard you bring along on the cruise?
Yeah. I was gifted an Artura, I believe it is.
Oh, yes, Artura, yeah.
Cute little, I don't know how many keys it is, maybe like 20 maximum, okay. Not even. But it's a cute little production pad keyboard situation.
Okay.
It's like a mini one. Good for travel, definitely.
Okay. Plugs into your computer and
reports. Yeah, definitely can't take my 88 key keyboard that I gifted myself last year. That was one of the sad things about being gone for so long. I came back and I played my keyboard instantly. I was like, oh, my baby. Yeah.
It doesn't leave you?
No, that was the one thing. I think that's one of the most expensive things I bought for myself.
Okay.
It was, I definitely treated myself to that because I was in COVID and I got...
Yeah.
I will say this. So sidebar, nothing to do with my career, but just about finances and how you should always do your taxes. So always do your taxes, ladies and gentlemen. Always make sure that you're on top of your own financial stuff, because when I was in college, I thought my parents were doing a few of my taxes, or supposedly were, because I've never done them in my life. Next thing you know, I graduate, work consistently for 2 years out of school. Uh-huh. COVID hits, CRA happens, we have to find out our accounts and blah, 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 so we can get access to the CERB and all that, right? Yeah. So that's happening. I find out when I log into my CRA account, I haven't done my taxes in 7 years. So I'm glad that the one good thing that came out of this pandemic and the CERB benefit and everything like that, thank you for helping us, Canadian government. We appreciate the money. But it also, I can't believe 7 years of back taxes happened. And of course the government wasn't attacking me for it. It was because 5 out of those 7 years was me in college. So they owed me a lot of money.
Okay.
So when I finally did it, I got so much money back. And so I bought myself a really expensive keyboard. And I was happy about that. But anyway, point of the story, do your taxes. You can get money back.
Taxes.
Yeah.
Happening soon.
Happening
soon. Now,
Yeah, I just started doing mine now. Yeah. Finally making money. And it's like, I want to get paid from the government, not pay them. But it's okay.
Yeah.
We get free healthcare.
Sent a keyboard. Use it to compose your music?
Oh, yeah. Totally. Yeah. Totally. It has quite a few presets in it, actually. I think there's like over 200 different samples and sounds.
Okay.
So there's quite a lot. And you can download, upload different ones to that actual keyboard too.
Okay.
It's really cool.
And when you do the production, because you've got some well-produced professional recordings.
Yes.
Four of which I only learned about in the last couple of days.
Yeah.
The only one that had been sent like a while ago now is Gone.
Gone.
So I was afraid that was the only thing you'd recorded. That's all we were going to be playing all day today.
No. I got some tunes over the last few years. Yeah. I think we got 2 EPs and like 6 singles.
Yeah. And so you've got a band that you're performing with?
No. I really want one. I haven't been around enough, if that makes sense. Like around town in Toronto and Kitchener enough to like fully develop relationships with other musicians to create that sort of connection and band.
And how'd you get those things produced?
Well, a lot of it is me on the tracks. Cool. And then a lot of it is people that I've met. So for example, on Gone, I had this really bad demo, and it was basically just, I think it was just the hook of the chorus, which was the, I'm gone insane. I only had the chorus part of the I've gone, and I took this really crappy demo and I won second place at in this thing called the singing contest with John Santos. You can find it on YouTube and you can also apply every year. Long and McQuaid hosts it. It's in Toronto.
Cool.
But I got second place, and one of the prizes was I get a music video and 3 songs at a really discounted price with this producer, Anthony Wright. And he's worked all over. He's worked on various different reality TV shows. Okay. I believe he worked on one of Beyonce's tours. Like, he has an extensive resume, and he's an incredible producer. And me and him, we worked on three songs together, Honey, Gone, and a song called Free.
Free.
So the song Free, I had already fully produced, so I basically brought it to him, and he kind of mixed, mastered, and like finagled it a little bit.
Okay.
I think Honey, I had also produced fully, and then brought it to him, and he made way better. And then with Gone, I just showed him my idea of the demo, and then he just, in like 20 minutes, not even, was just like, yeah, that's cool. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I was like, oh, I like that. And he's like, okay, great. And then 20 minutes, had the track ready and started finessing, and then I just started humming along, and I wrote that song in maybe an hour.
Wow.
I would say, in the studio, yeah.
Consider that a collaboration?
Yeah, I think so. I would definitely say he produced the track. When it comes to, like, I'm very hands-on, I would say, when it comes to, because in my head I always have a certain idea or what I want it to sound like, or what I want a certain thing to be. And it gets specific enough to the point where if I'm looking for a sound and I can't find it, I'll try to create it or recreate it with my mouth. And so like, there's a few like snaps or clicks that I wouldn't be able to get. And so I'm like, no, I want a kind of sound. I want more of a, it just depends on what it is. Like, I'm trying to find a certain timbre or tone. And so there's a few of my actual songs that have, you think is a snap or
your producer, a
wood clap or something, but it's like a tongue pop or I get very specific, so I always definitely end up co-producing if I'm in the studio with someone. The only time I would say I don't co-produce is when I give someone my demo and I'm paying them as a producer, and then they make my demo incredibly better. And like, there is part of me that like, yeah, I did have the root of that in there, like the root idea. And like, I did help. So that, I guess I did kind of produce it, because we're still using my chord structure. We're still using the exact same patterns that I was using, but it's his work now.
Right.
If that makes sense. Like, I feel like I did a little bit of research and I gave him the questions, but he wrote the essay. Credits. Yeah, absolutely.
He'll get producer credits.
And, Yeah. I'll get a little bit of a percent here and there, but
How long does that take?
It depends on the song. I've done competitions where you've had to write a song in like 3 hours, I would say. You have to fully produce, write, and you have to do it with like I think the largest group I've ever been in is 5 people. You have to write a song in 3 hours, and everybody divvies up, and we create, and there's like a theme-based challenge. It's kind of like being on like RuPaul's Drag Race, but for like songwriters. It's really fun. They give you a prompt and a theme and a challenge, and then you have to do it in a certain amount of time.
It's a whole world I didn't know existed.
Yeah. And then I've also been in songwriting camps where you have a day together, so like maybe 7 hours to write 2 songs with 2 different groups. That's always super fun. Dream House in Toronto. Shout out to you guys. Loved every experience.
Do you go there specifically to write new music, or do you go there for
I did for the longest time. Well, I would say both, actually. Like, songwriting camps really, one, they expose you to so many people that are just in that area and in that community. So that's like how I met a lot of my artist friends in Toronto. But it also lets you expand not only your artist voice, but like your craft in general. It allows you to write in ways that you never thought, because you're working with other artists that you never would have chosen for yourself. You get matched up into a group randomly, and the next thing you know, you're learning how to work with another person that you've never worked with before. Another creative that also has beautiful ideas and insane suggestions that end up working way better than anything you would have said.
Okay.
So it's just it's a little bit of a learning curve, but it's an incredible experience, and I wouldn't have traded it for the
Sounds
world.
Sounds nice, but there must be some friction too.
Yeah. I personally have never been in a group that had a lot of friction, but there definitely have been moments where you think you're right and they think they're right, and people can be stubborn.
Yeah.
I'll leave it at that.
Okay.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
What comes out when, does that grind the whole songwriting process to a halt?
Sometimes, yeah.
Yeah.
Sometimes it can. Sometimes you just take a break. Everyone says, all right, let's take a break. Let's do lunch. Let's do something. Everyone just needs to step out, take a breather, come back. I've never been in a situation that's been like so dire that people need to like leave the room, because I can't handle it. Like, no, that's never been a thing. No. But
how about abandoning songs in progress?
Always. Not always. I shouldn't say always. That's a little depressing. But yeah, there's definitely, I just got bad news. My hard drive died. and it has so much stuff on it, and it's going to be $1,600 to repair and retrieve all the...
Oh, if you can, yeah.
Because it's a mechanical failure. It's not like it just broke. So debating whether or not to do that, but I just got it back, and I don't remember what I have on that hard drive music-wise, and that's what scares me. But it has like a whole backup of my computer on there, so I think I might do it. But there's definitely probably 20 different demos on there that are just random things that I don't know if I liked or not, and I just kind of moved on.
Back to them later to...
Yeah, because a lot of the starts of my songs give me ideas for a different song. So like I'll find a really cool loop on Splice, or I'll find a chord progression either on my guitar or my piano, record that, put it on loop, start humming stuff, and then next thing you know, I'll find the cute little melody or a hook or something like that, and then I'll expand on that, and then that actually ends up either being a hook for that chorus or actually in that verse, and then I find something even better for the chorus, and the next thing you know, it's a completely different song, and I abandon what I had started with. So just, it's like a snowball effect.
Can you work on more than one song at a time, or do you have to do them sequentially? No?
So my brain has two different functions. One is everywhere, just like the movie, everything everywhere all at once. So I am definitely a multitasker sometimes when it comes to the point where I try to do everything. I find this actually when I'm just doing, like when I'm working, like at the bar or something like that, like, and I start cleaning up everything instead of doing it in sequence and being like, okay, I'm going to clear all the glasses and then I'm going to clear that table and then I'm going to do this. I'll try to do a little bit of everything all at once. And I think it works. Like, I think I'm doing it faster. Could not be, but it's kind of, I've worked on two, maybe three songs at a time before, but it's like reading a book. You can read a bit of a good book, put it down, read a bit of another good book, put it down. But sometimes there's that one book that just snatches your attention and you just don't put it down until it's done. And my brain will switch into that very quickly. If I get very addictive when it comes to things that I think I'm being like, yeah, just 5 more minutes. 5 more minutes is never 5 more minutes when I'm recording stuff. It's like another hour because I need to do 23 more takes on this vocal, double it, match it, pan it to that side. Then
comes up and it's another day.
Yeah, and then you're like, ooh, that was a really cool. Mate, what if I did it this way? And then, So 6 of 1, half a dozen of the other, really.
Okay.
Now,
And my question to everybody, music or lyrics first? Ooh.
Most of the time, music.
Music first?
Most of the time, I'm looking for something to inspire or bring out an idea or a melody, I will say. Okay. When it comes to lyrics, lyrics could already be there. Lyrics could already exist, or an idea could already exist, and the song is built around that idea. Like, for example, when I talk about that, the competition I was in where we had to write songs, we are given an idea or a theme or something that we need to write about. And that is then dictating the whole entire idea of the song. But if I'm just in my basement, in my studio, just messing around, I will be playing around on my keyboard or playing around on something. If I find something that is interesting to me musically, then I'll keep that. And then I will finesse around it and kind of just riff around that melody or that chord progression, that loop, whatever it is.
Right.
And then as soon as I find something that I'm interested in, I will find a melody that I love, and then I will write to that melody. And sometimes during my, I just want to be in love with you, baby. I don't want to take, in between all that, sometimes you'll get a lyric that all of a sudden you're like, oh, that's kind of interesting. Why did I say that? And so like the, I'm in love with you, baby. And then all of a sudden you're like, I'm still in love with you, baby. Even after all this time, I'm still in love with you, baby. After all those times we've cried, and then you just kind of, it just ends up evolving as snowballs, and then it slowly streams line into a beautiful little melody with proper lyrics, and then you have an idea, you have a song, and then you just want to make sure it all makes sense. It has the same flow, has the same meaning throughout. It all makes sure that it comes back to the main idea of your song.
Would you, or have you written just instrumentals?
I have not.
No. Not complete without the lyrics, is it?
That's actually, so I've written tracks, I've produced full tracks, and then I go, I don't like that. And then I just scrap it. It's just an instrumental now, so I guess I've written instrumentals. But not for the purpose of solely writing an instrumental track.
But you haven't gone and put those on your EPs or
no.
Play them during your concerts?
No.
No, nothing
no,
like
no,
that.
No.
Ah, so there's a whole bunch of hidden JSJ music that you never see the light of day.
I do. So all the stuff that's unfinished are definitely never gets played. But the songs that I really like that I finished, and I have, I call them mock demos because they're decent demos, but I did them, and I don't have Melodyne on my computer. They're not as perfect as I'd like them to be, but I'll do them at my shows for sure. Like I've created my own tracks, and then I've used, there's a website called Lander. I don't recommend it for professionally doing your stuff. It is, if you're in a pinch, absolutely go for it. But I'll always go through a person typically. But if I'm just needing my own personal track to be kind of smoothed out, I'll just go through Lander. It gives you like a really generic kind of mix and then just masters. So then you can just, it's like, it makes it sound a little bit clearer in regards to using it for a live performance. And I think that's when I don't feel bad using it for a live performance. And I'm like, I made it.
Yeah. Okay. Although, didn't realize you could get stuff like that online. I figured that all had to be done in person on a console.
You can do literally anything online nowadays. It's crazy. Yeah.
Scary.
Also scary. Yeah. Yeah.
Speaking of online, you've got a huge social media presence.
Not huge, but it's decent.
Wide. It's wide. You're on every social media thing that I can think of.
Yes. On everything.
Maybe not Friendster and Habbo Hotel, but all the other ones.
Habbo Hotel. Oh, no. Throw it back. Wow. Habbo Hotel. Wow. My best friend was so addicted to that. She spent so much money and time. Dang. Okay. Yeah.
I have a quick look here. Looking at your Instagram account, for example, there is just a bunch of pictures of you not looking as you're sitting here now. So to be perfectly honest, I wasn't quite sure what to expect based on some of the pictures that I saw from you online.
Yeah, we got different looks going on here.
There's a lot of different stuff going on there.
You got my professional photos I just did. We got my travel photos of me in a Speedo. Showing off all the weight I've gained.
And then there's the photo shoot you had for Dawn.
Yeah, that photo shoot was
and
so
I kind of figured, okay, this is Joshua Chardet James coming into the studio.
Yeah, shout out to Noah Vella for those photos. So incredible.
Yeah,
we did that, actually, we did it in the dungeon underneath the bar. It's like an old, a lot of it has old tunnel ways from when the city was powered by like steam engines.
Okay,
it's crazy.
A lot of you in costume with
long
lot
coats.
Of different looks.
I love a monochromatic look.
Yeah,
love a monochromatic look. I have.
And monochromatic isn't just black and white here. This is like bright puce and orange.
Yeah,
and,
so we
and
have. I think
lavender.
I have an orange, a pink, blue, yellow, green, red, purple, black. I don't know if I have white, but I do have silver.
How much of this stuff gets used in your regular
got
performances?
Like a camo look. I got an animal one. Oh, every time.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah. Anytime you come to a show, I'm always decked out.
Yeah?
I am decked out. I thought about getting decked out today, and then I was like, I'm not going to wear platforms to a radio interview, I think. I think I'm going to wear running shoes today because I worked for 12 hours yesterday. My feet hurt. But anytime I'm performing on stage, I'm fully decked out. I call it my JSJ drag.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. It'd be legal in some places in the States nowadays.
Yeah. That's a whole can of worms.
Okay. That's, no politics on this show?
Yeah, maybe not. Okay. Maybe not today. Okay. Stick to
music.
Stick to music and innuendos.
Okay. Got more music?
Yeah, I got more music.
Let's do another one.
You were talking about Gone. I thought I'd give it to you.
Okay.
So you guys were so generous enough to put Gone on the regular rotation. I thought I took the time to create a little acoustic version of it for you.
All right. Gone is pretty well produced. It sounds pretty slick in the recording. So let's see what it sounds like in the studio.
My coffee with two sugars, but you never seem to get it right. I buy myself this new apartment, that don't mean that you can spend the night. Yeah, you
got so many expectations about how I should behave. Yeah, you're the one who's out there cheating while I'm wondering why I still need you. I think I've lost my mind. Yeah, I've gone. I've gone. I've gone insane. Ooh, 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 insane. I think it's time to play the play or make you second guess that I'm your fool. I think it's time you understand that anything that you do, I can do. Yeah. So I'ma get up in my freaking best, get stupid and regret what's next. Ain't nobody can match this flex. I'm one part diva, one part I mess. I think I lost my mind. I've gone. I've gone. Coming out your mouth, tell me no. I'm so sick and so tired of the pain that you started, yet I still continue to cause. I've truly gone insane. I've gone. I've gone. I've gone.
Joshua Sade James, hey. Live in the studio, that was Gone, brackets, Gone. Insane.
Insane, yes.
Yeah. Very different from the produced version. But
very different, yes.
Similar nonetheless.
Yeah. Very different, though. Yeah. It was kind of fun. It's interesting when I find an acoustic version or create an acoustic version for my songs that I produced originally mm-hmm. or didn't find with an instrument, because it ends up sounding a little bit different, but... Obviously the same, because it's the same song, but yeah. It's always fun.
Yeah. Hmm. It's a pretty dynamic performance, too, you know, pinning the VU meters here right into the red.
Yeah.
So you got...
I'm trying to pull back, well, but you never know.
Yeah. See how that comes out when we've got the podcast going. Though.
Hey. I yell a lot, so sorry, everyone.
Yeah, that's all right. That's all right. Sounds good. This is entirely acoustic. When you're doing your concert shows, do you have... electric equipment, or are you all acoustic?
A little bit of both. I'm lucky enough to work with an incredible sound engineer named Mitch, and he does all my shows, me and my sister's shows. Me and my sister, she does a full acoustic set, and then I do half and half between acoustic and the tracks that I've made for my live performances.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of my big numbers or big energy numbers that are my original songs, I have a lot of background vocals and certain call-outs that I can't necessarily do with one voice. So I do a lot of those. So it definitely is a blend of the two. I find it gives me a little bit more of an edge when, one, I get paid more and I don't have to pay a band because I'm making all my own tracks.
Right.
And then two, I don't necessarily feel bad for using tracks because I've made them. So I did put the effort in, and it's not like I just used a karaoke version or whatever.
So how does that work in a performance? You haven't got an engineer sitting there.
I do.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh,
so really? We're lucky enough that at Bobby O'Brien's, they have a sound engineer usually if there's a big band or if there's...
Then pop in.
Yeah, every Friday. Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
Pedal board, do you have additional things like that?
No. I've always wanted to try a looping pedal, though.
Okay.
Always wanted to try a looping pedal. I think that could be really cool. I love stacking harmonies, so I think that would be great.
First time I saw one of those, I had no clue what was going on at all.
I was watching
the performer play, and the notes were coming out that he wasn't playing, and I just couldn't figure it out until
It was confusing the first time I saw that, too. I think it was Ed Sheeran that I watched for the first time.
Yeah.
He made that blow up.
Yeah. I don't remember who it was. Some live in the park concert. So pretty cool. You do that kind of stuff?
I would.
Yeah?
I would if someone asked. Hello. Okay. Hey. I'm free.
You'll put your contact information up on the show notes.
Yes, please do.
RadioWaterloo.ca/CCC.
You can reach me at josh.warren@live.com for any bookings that you may have for me.
And that will be prominently posted on, I think. And you do have some stuff coming up. You said Friday you're playing with Katie at Bobby O'Brien's.
Yes, yes, yes. Friday I'm playing with Katie at Bobby O'Brien's from 8 to 11 p.m.
One-shot performance?
No, we got one more after that. There'll be one more. One more in April before I leave.
Okay. You have a date for that?
Yes, April 21st. Friday, April 21st, at, once again, 8 to 11 p.m.
Okay. And then you're off to cruise the seas again.
Yeah, I'm off to Tampa, Florida to rehearse for 3 weeks, and then I will be in the Caribbean for about 4 months.
Rehearse for 3 weeks?
Yeah.
So this is...
It's a shorter... we only have two shows on this cruise ship, so there will be a three-week rehearsal to learn the two shows, and then we go out.
Okay. So when you're performing with the cast, but it's not your material that's going on.
No.
Oh, so, okay. Misunderstood that.
So the two shows that we're doing, for example, it's like a review show, I think. Okay. So it's called Rock You Tonight, and it's basically pop rock review show. So like Queen is in it. Like I think there's a lot of Queen music in there. And then the other show is called Showdown, which is kind of like an American Idol show. So the audience will vote you off as the show goes on, which I love.
Oh, really?
I think that's so fun. I have to win at least once that whole contract. If I do not, I'll be very sad. It'll be just like the American Idol game on my PS2 when I was younger.
The pressure.
Yeah, honestly, though. But if you get voted off, you just go and you sing backup for the rest of the song or the rest of the show. But it's called Showdown. It's like a Motown pop show.
Okay.
Very fun. It has like Satisfaction. I saw her standing there. Yeah. Both shows are very up my alley this time around, so I'm very excited.
Okay. On releasing any cover material, because you've obviously got the repertoire for it now.
Yeah, I've released actually two songs. I obviously have a Christmas album out. It's called A Very JSJ Christmas.
Okay. And that needs to come into our library.
Yeah.
Get it to me now, so I'll have it there in time for Christmas.
I have to ask the label, but it should be fine. Yeah.
And then by SoCan, so you know, the royalties will come flowing your way.
It'll be fine. But I have that, and then I did a cover of Never Enough. Actually, it's from The Greatest Showman. It's a musical theater. Pasek and Paul wrote it, and it ended up being brought to the stage. I think it was a movie musical first. Hugh Jackman was the lead in it. Zendaya was in it. Zac Efron. It was a big moment.
Big names.
Great score. Beautiful music. So inspirational. Love that song. So I did Never Enough, and I ended up using that as a publicity stunt because I thought it was kind of popping off at the time, and I've done well on YouTube, and I need to be more consistent with that. But I ended up getting like 100, almost 200,000 views or something like that. And we over 1 million or something on Facebook. Like we blasted everything and made it like it did really well. And I just need to be more consistent with that. But I would love to do more covers. I'm trying to decide on what to do, but I do have three more songs in the lineup to be released this year. And just got to do some photo shoots and get everything ready. I just got another master three days ago for another song. So I'm very excited for 2023. I think there's lots to come, and with all the working, we got money to put out more music and videos and everything.
So having the nice steady jobs that you've had.
Yes.
Do you find a need to get the hits from the streaming services, Spotify's, YouTube's? Does that provide you any useful revenue at all?
No. Not at the moment, no. Which is kind of sad to say. It's discouraging. I will say that for sure. It's hard because you'll spend, I don't know, say you do a music video, you pay a producer, mix master, video, PR.
And you'll never recoup that from the streaming.
No, you'll never. If I got 1 million streams, I would make about $4,000. And...
Most people don't get that. They're lucky to count into the thousands.
And so I'll probably make about, if I was to make $4,000 on 1 million streams, it would be about $500-$600 to produce 1,200 in total with mixed mastering, max 1,300. And then you have PR, which can be $7,000. So you're already at $2,000. And then if you want to do ads online, it'll be like another $200-$300. So you're already looking at like 2,500-ish.
Yeah.
to okay. release mix master, and then if you have someone to do a video for you, lucky for cheap, maybe like $3,000 total okay. to do all that. And then if you want to track it onto radio, you got to find a radio tracker, pay them a bunch of money.
So most of the people setting out who are doing yeah. the online videos and the streaming stuff, you know, if they get 10,000 mm-hmm. streams, and you know, they're all.
You're set.
Well, that's a tremendous thing for yeah. somebody starting out. But it doesn't bring in the revenue.
I remember when one of my songs broke like 30,000 streams, I like cried at one point. I was like, they like me. They really like me. It was just a big moment for me. None of them had ever reached over 10, and that was crazy.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was it's discouraging, but it is kind of cute every so often when you get a SoCan email notification. It's like, mm-hmm. your payment period has just been updated to your account. And you go into your bank account and you see it's been like, ooh, you got paid like $4.72. Yeah, and you're nice. But I will say this. Over the last few years, it keeps like doubling every time I get paid. So is being streamed more or... Yeah. So okay. I will say it's getting better, but it's still definitely not recouping.
No. And there's a lot of extra work you have to put into that as well.
Yeah. And a lot of time, especially on the social media front, trying to just advertise yourself.
I guess that's publicity.
It's exhausting. Yeah.
And that'll get you the gigs in other venues.
Oh, yeah. People, labels and stuff like that, too. They look at numbers first before anything nowadays. Yeah. So it's kind of... It's hard because you can be super popular with less talent than someone who has more talent but isn't as popular. But then again, there's something to be said about someone who is willing to put in hours and hours of work on social media and drain themselves in that aspect just to pass through that barrier.
There are people who make their livings off that.
But, oh, gosh, I commend anyone who does that. It's it's an exhausting place to be, I will say.
So, upcoming concerts live at Bobby O'Brien's on...
Bobby O'Brien's is Friday and March 24th and April 21st at 8 p.m. featuring Katie Topham Music and myself, JSJ.
And then upcoming albums, which you will be able to hear as soon as they come
releases,
out.
Yes, as soon as they come out. To be announced, please go follow me on Instagram at SayJSJ, S-A-Y-J-S-J.
Yeah. You can keep listening to the radio as well, CKMS
Absolutely.
Community Connections.
Please do.
Yeah. My name is Bob Jonkman. You've been listening to CKMS Community Connections for the 20th of March, 2023. We had JSJ, Joshua St. James, in some live performance. Maybe you can play me out.
Yeah.
While I talk over your wonderful music.
Thank you so much.
CKMS Community Connections is produced at Radio Waterloo. Executive producer is Jennifer Strong. Associate producer is Jeff Steger. Our opening theme music was Steve Todd, and right now you're listening to JSJ, Joshua St. James, live in the studio. Thanks, Joshua. Hope to have you back in the studio when you've got new music to play for us.
Yeah, thank you. Been almost 7 months since I've been with you here on this couch, and I want the taste of you in my mouth, cause you taste like honey. Yeah, you taste like... Yeah, you taste like, you taste like honey. Yeah, you taste like, yeah, you taste like. Baby, you a top shelf bottle, walk in every room like a model. Every time we try to link, always end up on the brink, then cancel. I think that's a problem. You got that kind of way.